These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission:
to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Crap.
Operator, give me the number for 911.
The preacher man says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a going dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see. A woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch cats fish from dusk till dawn. We make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. We grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those women old boys raised on shotguns. We say grace, we say ma'am. If you ain't into that, we don't give a damn. We came from the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the western skies. We can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. Grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and his taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures of the Broadway nights, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beach nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, 'cause a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. North California and South Alabama and little towns all around this land.
and a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, blast off!
God's name is going on in here. What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
You're listening to the Mad Science Show at www.shazizradio.com. So, posted a few links over there in the superchat.html. Stuart passed me a link over to a video for rimstar.org that would be worthy of going checking out. He was asking me a question about the boat, the ion drive boat that I put together. And pretty much what you saw in the video there, Stuart, that's pretty much as far as I've got to working on a thing so far. But If you go over there and to YouTube and check out rimstar.org, he's got all kinds of projects that he works on. He's one of my favorite guys out there as far as research and stuff. But he did this video quite some time back. This particular video, I think, was published November of 2013. But essentially, he's got a couple little model UFOs going on there, and they're spinning around using ion propulsion from a high voltage source, and that's pretty much what that boat was doing, creating an ion wind that was causing that little styrofoam boat to move around. Actually, size comparative wise, that styrofoam boat was pretty big compared to the ion drive that was using. Just used a little negative ion generator that you could buy out of off of eBay for, I don't know, I bought two of them for around about $6. It wasn't a bad price on there. And they're normally 12 volts, but I was running them off of 9 volts in the video where you see me getting the boat to move across the bathtub in there. But either way, that link's posted over there. Stuart sent to me, and so with that said, if you can jump over there to the superchat.html, then you'll find that, or you can just jump on shaziz.com, and you'll see the first page you come to has got a chat room and a backup radio player. We've been having some trouble with the doggone radio tuna player for some reason, so we're using the backup player that we got available. Anyway, ion propulsion is it's something that I think really seriously needs to be, continued to look into. Whereas, you're talking about a massive amount of high voltage to get a large amount of high pressure on there. There's other things about that ion drive that could actually be used in some of my research, which I want to talk about here pretty quick, but. In the meantime, you're actually getting motion where it's creating an ion wind. That's why I've been saying for a long time, messing around with a Van de Graaff generator or any static generator for that matter, right before that discharge across the spark gap, you'll feel an ion wind being created as it's literally appearing to be using like the Venturi effect to bring in atmosphere from the outside, drawing it in towards that discharge across there. And so you got pressure going on. You can see in the video where I did where the boat, the video name is called Physics Toy 3. And essentially I made a styrofoam boat that is being driven by a negative ion generator, a little ion wind that's being created by the brushes that are hanging off the side of the boat. My initial intentions were to use the plates to actually produce the ion wind from the back, but for some reason when you get that thing too close to water, some other anomaly that I need to test out going on there. I'm going to actually probably end up doing a different video on that boat eventually once I get the bugs worked out of it, because I believe that you can actually get the water itself to do a few things like you see in those static videos where you rub your hair on a balloon and you put it next to a stream of water and you can see the water actually bending towards the static charge. And so with that said, figuring out a way to utilize that force that you just witnessed there to get some work done. What this does prove to me is that you can get work done with static electricity. Voltage is pressure, and so anytime you got pressure, you can get work done. You can fill up capacitors and be able to use those capacitors to run different things. You can use a capacitor just like a battery. One of my favorite videos to prove that is there's a guy out there that took his regular car battery out and he took some super caps, basically they call them boost caps, and he made a battery pack out of it. Basically six, I think they were like C or D sized capacitors not the size of D-size or C-size batteries, but they were capacitors, and he made a battery pack that he started up the little four-cylinder engine with, and then was able to let it set for 3 days and come back and actually set it up, start it up again, and the alternator would keep the thing charged up when it was running. So you basically just went from a 20-pound battery down to a 2-pound battery pack. So anything you can do to reduce the weight that you have to pull with that is going to make that engine run just a little bit more efficient. You know, if you're talking about saving fuel, my friend Muddy, he put a solar panel on the top of his truck, which would supplement the battery so that the alternator would never have to kick on. And if the alternator is not having to kick on, then that means that your engine doesn't have to work as hard to pull that alternator. So that's another plus. He said he'd save some fuel doing that. But you know, all these little anomalies, you take these things in conjunction with each other, and you can get some work done out of it. With I believe that with high voltage, you can move energy faster, more rapidly, and be able to get some pressure built up that you can do some things with. Anyway, also posted down in the link over there. Before I've done a few videos on the old direct drive washing machines that you hear me talk about a lot, the Fisher and Packle and different what was that other one? Doggone it, can't remember. Anyway, I'm always looking for new permanent magnet electric motors, and then the X13 came by thanks to Ryan Abrams and Terry Woodruff. And my buddy Raymond brought me one of those out there. The X13 is a good permanent magnet motor. Well, now there's this other washing machine out there, the Simons IQ700 washer motor. And it's pretty small, but it's pretty impressive. You could actually use this doggone thing to build a ready-built windmill, wind turbine, or, you know, water wheel or whatever. But I'm always looking for off the shelf things that people can use to generate power in worst case scenario. If you can't afford a regular generator or something like that, and you know that you can turn any permanent magnet motor into a power source, then you can be creative from that point on, even if you had to put it on a treadmill or a bicycle where you had to have pedal power. Worst case scenario, still you got a little bit of light, you know, and some power source for maybe emergency radios or, lighting sources or fan or something like that, or charging up some battery banks or whatever. Also, there's another link down in there to another one that I stumbled across, which is what brand did he say that one was? Let me take a peek right here. You'll probably hear a commercial as I light this up. Nope. Let's see. Whirlpool. Inside of a Whirlpool Duet, there's another stator motor down there, and he's getting pretty good results out of that one as well. So, either way, as long as those videos keep popping up for me, I'm going to keep on putting them out there. There's a lot of different people out there doing research on my buddy Coltis over there in Australia. He was doing the static motors, little Corona motors. They're 3D printing the rotors and stuff like that and building these static motors. And there's people out there doing electro propulsion with, you know, lightweight aluminum frames that they're getting, you know, some pretty neat results out of. You know, at one stage you would just consider it to be a toy, but it's not necessarily a toy. You know, because these things, if you engineered them properly, you could actually get some serious work done with it. Since, Coltis did the static motor right there, and you know, other people out there working on that, that it shows that you can actually get work done with static energy, static electricity, you know, high voltage. And so scaled up and properly engineered, and I have been trying to keep up on his newer version 2 of the static motor that he's working on. It's a little different design than the old style with the razor blade and the plates and stuff, but I'm anxious to see how that comes out, because I've actually seen some versions like that that actually have a lot of torque to them. And I mentioned RimStar.org about his Ion Wind spinning disc there. He has also done a few static motors that have some pretty good torque to it, turning propellers and stuff like that. So even though people wouldn't necessarily think that static electricity could be a useful thing, for most industries, electronics, stuff like that, it could be obnoxious, because you can burn up little circuits and stuff like that, if you're not properly grounded and you got static charge on, you don't want to be messing around with computer chips, so to speak. But either way, it's the being able to move an object with the ion, negative ions, or high voltage coronas. It's shows that you can get work done with high voltage. Doing that on a larger scale, more refined, more precision, and such, I feel like you can actually go somewhere with that type of voltage. So with that said, I'm thinking if you could visualize an ion spinner inside of a vacuum to essentially, it'd be spinning around inside the vacuum, but it would also be circulating plasma throughout the whatever gas that you have inside that vacuum. I want to build something similar to that, just to see the results, just to see what kind of other anomalies occur out of that deal. See, the plasma technology that I'm talking about, I'm going back to my original research, what originally got me really going, once I started studying different things that Tesla was messing with, is that if you take any gas, any noble gas, actually any gas for that matter, and you hit it with high frequency range, you energize that gas into the fourth state of matter, which is plasma. And according to what the laws of physics states, you can get, if light is heat and heat is light, vice versa. So if you can visibly see this going on inside there, then you also know that you have heat as well. So you took a high voltage source, you energized the gas which was inside a closed system such as a vacuum, or even, it doesn't even have to be a perfect vacuum, just the less atmosphere inside there. Not even sure if I'm even wording that right, but either way, argon gas inside of a chamber, if you look inside of like a plasma globe and you watch it, people are fascinated with the plasma globes, but there's a whole lot more going on in there than actually meets the eye. They're a nifty toy, but you can actually feel a static discharge on the outside of that glass. You get some radiant energy being transmitted. You get a little bit of wireless energy going on out there. Now, there's a lot of people out there that's all worried about, radiation or X-rays and stuff like that. But as long as I was working on my plasma research, I never had no issues of, getting ill because I'm running plasma or creating ozone in my lab or whatever like that. But that's the research I'm going to go back to doing full time, because it's just too many different devices out there to keep up with. Some folks are interested in all these different big name alternative energy devices and such, and for me, I want to take this down a different road, because I believe that you can actually take energy and change it to whatever form you want, to whatever frequency range that you want, and still be able to get the same amount of energy, move it around, put it where you want it, and then change it back into the usable form once again, and be able to do some pretty cool stuff. So I'm going back to my original research. I'll probably still be messing around with magnet motors and alternators and stuff like that, because anytime I see a nifty gizmo, I still gotta tinker around with it. But either way, I got distracted some time back about what research I was actually on, and you know, with the world being the way that it is, and politics and craziness going on, and all that, it's just it's easy to get caught up in the rabbit hole, get going down the wrong path and watching all kinds of crazy stuff. You know, I kept my eye on the old Keshi deal for a long time, and Mark over there at Zero Fossil Fuels, his link is down at the deal. He did a full reproduction of the Keshi plasma reactor deal, and basically showed it for what it was. You know, if you try out building his stuff and you get a better result, put it out here and we'll see what's going on then. But as far as I'm concerned, you know, you got to be careful out there, because there's some individuals out there just trying to, you know, make some money off of you. They're just trying to do people wrong, and that's not what it's all about. See, a long time ago, people basically expressed that there was a problem with our planet was heating up, and we had environmental issues that needed to be concerned, and things like Chernobyl and Fukushima and the BP oil spill, all those big dramatic things played out. And so there was said to be a need for new clean renewable alternative energy sources that would you know, basically save the planet, working in harmony with nature. So a bunch of us alternative researchers out there, you know, we started researching in all different possibilities. You know, looking for zero point and over unity and free energy, all this different stuff right there. Well, in the process of doing that, a lot of the individuals out there got trolled big time by the YouTube communities that they were trying to share information with, and you know, not excluding myself. You know, we were told that we were stupid, that you know, what we were talking about didn't match the books or whatever, you know. But we were pointing out anomalies and, you know, different things like being able to pick energy right up out of the air. You know, the atmospheric group took a couple 200-foot poles and run a wire up over the top of the 200-foot poles with a little bit of nanocarbon on there, and were able to pick up static energy that they brought down and started charging huge capacitor banks. So, essentially right there, they were getting free energy. And as long as those poles are up there, and as long as there's a static charge and different energy potential difference between the earth and the ground, then they're always going to have voltage. It's actually an equation out there for every so many feet you get off the ground, how much the volts raise up. And for me, I couldn't care less about all the rest of stuff. It's the high voltage that I'm interested in. It's the different frequency ranges that could be acquired using this high voltage. It's the pressure of the voltage itself. And if you've ever been zapped by a pretty good static charge, you can actually feel that pressure as it when it hits your hand. It's like something just slapped you. Right? And so there's actual work being done. It may not be the work you want because it hurt like heck, but it's actually work. And you've seen it all the time when you was growing up as a kid. You know, you walk through the house dragging your feet across the carpet and stick your finger out and shock your brother on the ear. There's a lot of pressure, and there's even an acoustic wave that's created when that snap occurs. You can actually audibly hear it. You can feel it, you can hear it, and you can see it. You can see a little lightning bolt come from your finger to your brother's ear. So, there's a whole lot more than meets the eye there. You know, you can actually get work done with that deal right there. Once again, it wasn't the work that you wanted done, or, well, maybe it was the work you wanted, but it wasn't work your brother wanted, because your brother just got laid out by a lightning bolt coming off the tip of your finger. So he's running around rubbing his feet on the carpet trying to get you back. Anyway, so I'm going back to my original research with Tesla Technologies and plasma reactor. because I was getting some interesting results. I had a problem with my lab. My lab pretty much got destroyed flood-wise. It's just been one thing after another. And between that and the distractions of the world, well, you know, kind of got put off to the side. Anyway, I want to get back to it because I already have the designs that I needed. I just got to figure out a method by which I can actually build the device that I'm talking about so that I can prove my theories to the people. And basically, I'm working on a unit that you can use to plug into any existing generator. Not necessarily to make it over unity or free energy or anything like that. My intentions with this particular unit is to be able to use that, maximize the energy output of any existing generator so that that generator doesn't have to work hard. See, it's about the laws of physics. When you talk about the laws of physics, and you can call them laws for nothing, there's certain things that, you know, nature kind of falls in these boundaries and you have to go within this realm or it's not going to work properly, you know. Lenz's law is one I talk about a lot, you know. Whenever you induce a current into a coil of wire, well, the Lenz effect takes place the moment you turn a light bulb on that generator and creates a second field that starts to fight against the one that you're trying to take the power off of. And so with that said, the more light bulbs you turn on, the harder that generator has to work. And when it does have to work that hard, then, you know, that generator becomes less efficient. And so the device that I'm talking about isn't necessarily what you would call over unity or free energy or anything like that. It's being able to take that generator and get its maximum potential out of there, change that energy to whatever form that you choose, at whatever frequency range that you choose, and get work done with it. So you can imagine a gasoline engine. If you never invoked Lenz's law on that gasoline generator, then that engine never has to work hard. You know, and it's basically the equivalence of what Muddy's been doing with his solar panel on top of his truck so that his alternator doesn't kick on. If you can visualize what I'm saying, is that if your alternator kicks on, you can actually physically hear that alternator bogging down that engine. Whenever you got a gasoline generator going and you put it under load, you can physically hear that generator bog down. Well, when this occurs, you're actually using more fuel than you need to be using in order to get the energy that you want out of it. The engine has to work harder. And so, taking that energy off the generator that you want, because no matter what happens, that generator is always going to produce as much energy. It's like this. I took a hard drive motor. And I spun the hard drive motor up to 35,000 RPMs. And this, keep in mind, this is just a little motor out of a computer hard drive. And I was able to light up a 120 volt LED strand. To most people, that don't sound like that big of a deal because the very first criticism that I got on there, well, you know, it took more energy to run that Dremel to spin that hard drive up. But that's not the point, folks. It's not the point. Maybe it took me 120 volts to spin that hard drive to 35,000 RPMs using that Dremel. But what you just saw was the energy go from what the normal 120 volts out of the wall outlet through the Dremel, runs the Dremel, spins the hard drive up, and come out on the other side with the same type of energy enough to run that doggone light strand. And if you looked inside of a computer hard drive, there's a little mini stator motor in there, a brushless motor, basically a pulse drive DC motor, that there's hardly any copper to it. There's just little tiny windings on this stator. And then the copper, or the magnet inside there, it's got a circular magnet in there backed by a piece of metal plate that's all there is to it. And so normally when you think about getting 120 volts AC, you're thinking about something about the size of an alternator or something like that. But so there's something else going on with the way the energy is generated, as opposed to, you know, the conventional thinking of what we feel like electricity is. I hope you understand what I'm trying to point out here, but it's a little hard drive motor capable of producing over 120 volts AC, and I even got it higher than that, you know. Now, once again, you'll get criticized about the output of it, you know, the current flow and all that kind of stuff, or the amperage, whatever, but nonetheless, it, when you're looking strictly for voltage, which is all I care about, I couldn't care less about anything else. All I'm looking for is strictly voltage for my research purposes, because I want to be able to energize plasma into the argon gas into the plasma state, all right? And with that, I can use this argon gas as a tuner to tune that gas and the output of that energy to whatever frequency range I want. I can speed it up or slow it down depending on the amount of input that I put in the other side. So that means that I can take that gas to its lowest level, to where you can't even see no visible light, but it's still producing the frequency range out the other side, or I can speed it up to its highest level, where I've actually seen argon gas put off a bright, brilliant white light. And you know, you're talking, if you've got a light that is that bright, then you've got a lot of heat involved inside there. I've also seen it into the most beautiful purple color that you ever saw in your life. And so, essentially, the plasma reactor that I'm talking about is a tuner. It's kind of like a high-tech version of a variable capacitor. You know, it's taking that energy, speeding it up, slowing it down, changing the frequency range. So, if you got a generator capable of producing 2,500 watts at a certain RPM, then you know that that generator head, even when it's not under the load, is going to produce that much energy. Now, we're talking about at a certain RPM. You take that same generator head and you bring those things up to super high RPMs. I mean, way past what the doggone specs say that thing can hold up to. And if centrifugal force doesn't tear it apart, you're going to see the voltage raise the faster that thing goes. We've already seen this with the X13 motor and stator motors. You spin those things up, Raymond and I were getting over 400 and some odd volts AC out of one of these X13 motors, which those motors, I believe, came out of air conditioning units or furnaces or something. There's a lot of really impressive permanent magnet motors out there that you don't even have to modify them. Straight out of the gate, they're already producing voltage enough to light up incandescent light bulbs and things like that. And so with that said, if you keep your eyes peeled out there when people are throwing away old appliances and stuff like that, there's some goodies inside them appliances, even old microwaves and such. You know, look out there in the YouTube community and you can find out whether or not there's any kind of, you know, dangers or whatever, such as, like, you know, differences. There's magnetrons in microwaves. Some of them have the pink material in them, some of them have the white material. And I can't remember exactly what the pink material is, but you don't want to get the dust, you know, inside your body, so to speak. It's not good for you. But, either way, even those magnetrons, if you actually understand how a magnetron works, you don't have to have a couple thousand volts to use a magnetron. A magnetron, essentially, inside of it is a light bulb. If you think about actually how that thing functions, when you put that, it's about 2,000 volts for some microwaves, depending on, you know, what kind of microwave oven transformers in there, or now they have the newer versions, which is, oh God, I can't remember the name of those. It's a circuit board. basically. And it's different energy that they're using to basically use that Magnetron with. Can't for the life of me remember it. Anyway, yeah. You send that to about 2,000 volts into that Magnetron, and it heats up a little tungsten element inside there that if that Magnetron was see-through, you would actually see what looks like a light bulb. It produces heat inside there, which releases electrons inside of a vacuum that the magnet on one side is causing it to spin and getting the rotation of the electron flow inside that chamber, and then those electrons are actually flowing towards a little tiny disc that has little tiny holes in it, which the electrons get trapped in and begin to spin yet even faster. And then the magnet on the other side draws that energy out, essentially what is an antenna. And then you end up with a microwave that comes out the end of the deal. And that microwave is then sent in through a waveguide that bounces around inside your microwave and hits the water molecules in whatever food it is you're cooking, and produces heat that, you know, cooks your food. So what you just saw there was energy being transferred from one form to the next and getting some work done. And it's high voltage, but you don't have to have the whole 2,000 volts to actually get some work done. If you, you know, just took that same microwave Magnetron and you put 120 volts AC to that, you'd light it up just like you would a light bulb. You know, you wouldn't get the high frequency effect that you would have before, so that wave that was actually coming out of the end of that Magnetron wouldn't be necessarily a microwave. But it's still frequency range that's coming out the end of that. So, I hope I've explained that easy enough, but essentially the plasma technology that I'm talking about is basically taking that gas and only using that gas as a means by which you can actually tune whatever frequency range that you want coming out the other end. So, if I take this doggone generator head, which it's super simple to build an alternator. It's super simple to build a generator of any type. As long as you know the basic concepts of you know, how electricity is generated in a coil of wire, you know, you move your magnetic lines of flux to and fro across the wire, and it shakes the electrons around and creates the electron flow that is what we call electricity. You can do it with modified AC motors by putting magnets in them like they do for the doggone ceiling fan wind turbines. Muddy does a version of actual flux wind turbines, which essentially he's using some old brake rotors and some really strong neodymium magnets, two of these facing each other. And in between there is a coil system that has multiple coils in there, pancake style coils inside of a resin, and he built a wind turbine out of it. And they're pretty impressive, you know, as far as the power that can be coming across there. So, a lot of different old appliances have different permanent magnet. A lot of the newer appliances out there have a lot of really impressive permanent magnet motors in them. Those are ready built right off the store shelf that you can get some actual work done, and then if you understand how to rectify that AC current that would be coming out of it into a DC, you can charge up your batteries or whatever. So I put that out there for purposes that, you know, just knowledge, just the extra knowledge to have. So, worst case scenario, you find an old junky washing machine, or you could look around your house if you already have one and the power grid goes down for some weird reason. You could at least keep a few light bulbs on, charge some batteries and emergency radio, and if you really seriously expanded on it, you know, turn this into either hydroelectrics or whatever. And then with all these other anomalies, you can find out things like You know, everything that you run, like a light bulb, for instance, a light bulb produces so much wasted energy, and if you could take and recapture some of that wasted energy, if you're running a tungsten element light bulb, and you got a Peltier element available in one of your coolers that's out there in the garage, you take that Peltier element, and you can actually put it, you know, on a plate near that doggone light bulb, and that heat, if you put it on the top of the bulb or whatever, that heat will heat up one side of that Peltier element, and you throw a heat sink on the opposite side, and you'll be able to recapture some of that through a thermoelectric process there. Recapture some of that energy you're using to charge up a different little battery bank or whatever that you're going to run something else with. You know, they say energy can neither be created nor destroyed. So, you know, where does it go? It's lost in waste energy or whatever. And that's also the same reason why they use the argument that, you know, there's no such thing as free energy, blah, blah, all that kind of stuff there. Well, if energy can't be created and it can't be destroyed, and you're using this energy and it has all this heat loss to it, and all the reasons why you say that it can't, you can't make a perpetual energy device or whatever, where's that energy going? See, that's a big question. You take an electric motor and run it for a while, you notice that electric motor gets hot. And if it gets too hot, it'll mess the doggone insulation off the wire, and then you won't be able to have an electric motor, because once it shorts itself out, it'll begin to draw too much amperage and, you know, keep going, and it'll get hot and catch fire. And so that's a lot of wasted energy there, as far as I'm concerned. I've even talked about the internal combustion engine. If there was ever proof of overunity, the internal combustion engine ought to be that, because that thing, you take away one thing off of it, it will literally destroy itself with the heat generated by the process of the combustion going on. So the work that I'm talking about doing, I'm going back to my original research as far as plasma technology, not the Keshi hoodoo voodoo version. You know, I wish I could quit saying that dude's name, because he's aggravating me. He's out there stealing from people, essentially what he's doing. You know, getting everybody's hopes up. We have a lot of research available to us. There is a lot of physics, a lot of information out there, and it's taking all these pieces of the puzzle and at the very least being able to get the best results, the most efficiency out of whatever it is that you're trying to accomplish. You know, if I can build this secondary device that you can hook in between any generator, then that means at the very least I can make it where you can run your generator longer with the same amount of fuel that you would have normally used in less time. So if it's more efficient, and so you can get more length of use out of it, you know, half the day you have to run your generator, but the other half the day you just take that energy that you stored up during the daytime, and that's what you use at night. Same concept as a solar array. Now, if you got a huge enough solar array, you can run your electricity directly off the sun. You know, it takes a lot of money. A lot of folks ain't got a lot of money, so you got to learn about storage. Storage is the way you got your piggy bank going on. You know, if you ain't got the money for a massive solar array, then just get you one solar array and start stocking up on your batteries for your storage bank. It's that simple. You know, you don't need a massive solar array to run your stuff. Now, granted, it's going to take you longer to charge something up, so if you're planning on using it on demand, then you're going to get surprised. It's not going to function like that. But the whole idea is to try to help the average Joe out there, you know, be able to still be able to live in comfort if worst case scenario happened. If the power company shut you down and all you had to do or all you had was what you got on you already, if you have an old washing machine that you can't use because the power is off anyway, but you need a little bit of power to keep some things going. Well, now you know that there in the back of those modern day washing machines is a generator head. And then you got to figure out how you want to hook that generator head up to get the motion that you need, whether it be by building you a windmill. And if you talk to Muddy, he can show you how to carve your own props. And, you know, build a pole to put it up on or whatever. A little tower. And then you got a little bit of power going on. And then build your way up from that point on to whatever your needs are. There's all kinds of different electrical devices out there that are already ready-built generators. Of course, you know, once again, along comes the critic. Well, you know, you can't ruin your whole house on that because of this or that or whatever. Not saying you can ruin your whole house on that. But what I am saying is if you understand how electricity functions and you understand that, like, for example, what's gonna take less energy to run? A tungsten element light bulb or an LED light bulb? And so if you can run an entire strand of LEDs, which is quite a bit of light, if you can run an entire strand of LEDs off of something as simple as a hard drive motor, then you got your lighting issue resolved. Then along come the critic. Oh, well, you know, you could do that with a candle. Alright. Then, if you're going to be using that candle anyway, then build your little cook stove to use the heat off of that candle and make sure you practice fire safety so you don't burn yourself up. The whole thing, to me, is about educating people that there's a lot of different options out there. Now, if you really want to get high tech and you really want to get some good quality alternative energy devices going on, that's what the whole networking process at ShazizRadio.com. We get together with some other researchers and we start working it out. We put our 3D printers to work and our minds to work. We take all these anomalies that we been talking about and we make them work for us. We invoke the laws of physics that we want and we don't invoke the ones that we don't want. It's as simple as that, including Lenz law. You don't have to invoke Lenz law to get the energy to move from one place to the next. If you've ever paid attention to an alternator or a generator, then you understand that as long as that alternator isn't under a load, it will spin freely. The moment you put that thing under a load, those electrons make a loop right back into the same generator and start acting as a brake on the system. And the more light bulbs you turn on, the harder it has to work until eventually it can't work any harder and it'll stop. In my mind, it's common sense. So, sure, you ain't gonna be able to make a motor generator in the conventional sense, because it's going to begin to draw too much energy and require more input than you would be getting out the other side. Take that same amount of energy, you change it to a completely different form, separate that energy from the system, the closed loop system, and then turn around and bring that energy back into the system to run the generator head. Then you defeat those losses that you would have normally had to deal with. It's not closed loop anymore. You move the energy away from it. Your initial power source would be fed by a system that was taking the energy, changing the energy, moving it away from the generator, not allowing the electron flow to ever go back into the generator head. And then putting that energy into a storage bank that when it got fully charged would turn around and discharge into your drive source. So do I believe a self-looping system is possible? Yeah, I do, honestly. Because if it was done right, if it was properly engineered, and you move that energy away, you never invoke Lenz's law then you can get out the equivalence of what you put in and basically get that thing to self-loop. And people are looking for, well, then the moment you put that under a load, well, that's going to turn around and take away from the energy that required to run it, and then your losses are back in play again. Oh. The two concepts, one being able to self-loop itself and run off of its own power, and then being able to run extras off of it, are two completely different concepts. Now, if for some reason, in the process of your self-loop, it's still producing waste energy in the form of radiant energy off of the reaction in the plasma from the high frequency going in and energizing the gas into the plasma state. Now you've got visible light coming off, and you've got radiant energy coming off in the form of wireless energy, then you can develop systems that will take that energy, that waste energy coming off, and send it into a completely different system. So nothing is directly coupled to each other. You're just grabbing the energy on the way by. That's the way I see it in my mind. Alright, now it's all down to proving, showing, a physical device of how this thing functions. I've been showing in my YouTube videos for years different anomalies and results that if somebody wasn't spending the time to criticize what they were seeing, if they actually stepped back and they looked at the overall big picture of what was going on in that video, they would notice something amazing that I was trying to point out. You know, like for example, this little boat, this little styrofoam boat, you can see in the video that it's obviously not a speedboat. It's not moving really fast. Key is, though, it is moving. It's moving a mass with no moving parts. It's taking negative ions, creating an ion wind, which is actually pushing this boat across the water. And so, to the average Joe, it's, oh yeah, that's not that big of a deal, whatever, blah, blah. But to the free thinker out there, you take a look at what's going on here. You took some physics, some buoyancy, water displacement, and some energy, and you combined all this stuff in together. You're using the water to hold up the mass of the boat. You're using the styrofoam because of its buoyancy and displacement of the water to hold the boat out of the water, which on top of the boat is setting a battery and a negative ion generator. And the negative ion generator is producing the energy that is creating an ion wind, which is producing thrust to push the boat forward. A lot of physics in one little toy right there. And so, if that concept of everything that went into making that little boat do what it did was expanded upon and engineered properly, you could get a really powerful ion propulsion going on. You could actually get it to where it would actually circulate water using the effect that you see whenever the static electricity is pulling the water towards it. When you've got water falling down, gravity's pulling the water out of your pipe or whatever, or the pressure's pushing it out, gravity's assisting it to the deal, and you rub your hair on a balloon and you got a static charge on that balloon, and you can actually put that balloon next to that falling water, and you can see that that water begins to bend towards that static charge. There's an anomaly right there that could be exploited, could be used to your advantage. So if you're able to attract water to a static charge, and you keep that static charge constant you will keep attracting water to it. Well, the water can only go so far. It has to do something. So imagine if you could basically bait that water through a tube. You got a suction created on one side, and that water has to go out the other side, so now you got pressure out the other side. So you're literally using a static charge to draw the water through that tube, which is producing propulsion under the water. So between the negative ion wind and the suction of the water going underneath there, the constant attraction towards water. See, those water molecules aren't like all glued together. They're moving around freely. And so when that thing is moving forward because of the thrust of the negative ions, the ion wind propelling it forward, you got new fresh water molecules coming through there that are trying to attract to that static charge. And so, essentially, you get to the point where now you're moving through the water using that attraction. You're using the negative ion wind and the attraction of the water pulling you towards it. In my mind, it's brilliant. You take those anomalies and you use those anomalies to your advantage, and basically the laws of physics to your advantage, and you invoke the ones you want and you don't invoke the ones you don't want. So if you really paid attention to my YouTube channel for all these years, I put a lot of crazy stuff on there. But it's not for the person that can't think for themselves. It's not for the person who ain't thinking outside of the box. I want the guy that believes in UFOs, because he's looking towards, you know, to boldly go where no man has gone before. He's thinking about, how would a UFO actually function? How would a flying saucer even get off the ground? How would you defy gravity? How would you create anti-gravity? How would you manipulate frequencies to where you could literally teleport things across from one place to the next? How would this actually happen? See, it's that thing. It's that line of thinking that people use to stumble in to more research, more anomalies. That's the whole purpose of the deal. To get people to actually thinking outside the box and sitting there having conversations with one another. That's why if you come on my YouTube channel and you start foul-mouthing and telling people how stupid they are, I'll just delete your comment and block you. I don't care. I'm not in it for the subscriber numbers. I mean, it's cool having a lot of numbers on your subscribers. It means that you're getting your message out. But I'm not one to tolerate people cussing, you know, people that are there trying to, you know, talk about possibilities. This, you know, things like these electric motors that I keep talking about, as far as what you can find in old appliances. Those are helpful hints and tips, that things I found out along my search for free energy. Different, you know, things that you could use to generate the power if you need to. See, my view of that electric motor is not the average person's view of how they would use that electric motor. See, what I want to do is take that electric motor, the same one that you would be using to charge your batteries up with, and I want to run it to its maximum potential. Take that direct drive motor and spin it up to whatever RPMs that thing can handle. See, at some point, they're not engineered to go to hundreds of thousands of RPMs, and, you know, essentially something mechanically would have to give. The bearing would get hot and it'd burn itself out. But I want to bring it up as far as it's capable of going, to boldly take it where no man has took it before. I want to spin, if it only set to go to 1500 RPMs, but it's capable of spinning at 50,000 RPMs, and I can take it up to 50,000 RPMs, and instead of only getting 120 volts out of there, I can get a couple thousand volts out of that doggone thing. That's what I'm interested in. taking a motor controller and being able to speed it up, slow it down. You just took built a high frequency generator that has the capability of producing some high voltage electricity out the other side. So I hope that gives folks a bit of more of understanding of what it is that I'm trying to communicate to people, you know. I'm not trying to get out more than I put in at this stage in the game. I'm trying to show that you can use things so much more efficient. And that the way that we generate electricity right now, the way that we use electricity, isn't necessarily how it has to be. Because if you design a electromotor properly to run on any frequency out there, it doesn't matter what frequency range it is. You can run an electric motor on super high voltage as long as that insulation can handle the... the high voltage. You know, right now, if you actually look at your copper wire, you'll notice that, you know, hey, the copper wire is pretty thin. There's a real small thin coating of some sort of insulator between the wire, so you can wind it up and make your coils out of it. But imagine if you had an insulation that was capable of withstanding thousands of volts of electricity. All right? An insulation basically like what you would see in an electric stove. So that essentially what would happen is, if you've ever looked at an element inside of an electric stove, you'd see that there is like this ceramic coating on the outer portion of this element. Well, inside that ceramic, there's actually a metal in there that when you put your 220 volts AC to it, at the initial onset of it, that's a doggone dead short inside there, right? And so your 120 volts AC goes in there, and that metal inside the doggone ceramic liquefies. It literally turns into liquid metal inside there. And the longer it's running, the hotter it gets, the more efficient it becomes. You know, and it'll level itself off at some point. It doesn't keep drawing more and more and more energy. It will level itself off and actually become more efficient the hotter it gets, because that liquid metal, the electrons aren't struggling to move around inside there anymore. It can flow freely through. And so if you had a electric motor that had an insulation, the equivalence of what that doggone deal was capable of, you could get that thing red hot. The copper inside of it would literally be liquefied. But at some point, you could run that motor on some massive voltage and it couldn't burn up. You could abuse the heck out of that motor and it wouldn't burn up. The only reason why any electric motor or any electric fan, whatever, generator out there ever fails as far as the windings go is the insulation. When you get through running that generator, you still have as many electrons as you had to start with in that copper wire. You still have as much material as you started. If you didn't delete any of that material off of that copper, you still have just as much as you had when you started. You just stopped the reaction, and the reaction in the copper wire stopped, and so you basically... you still got a motor. The only time that motor ever becomes bad is when the coating of all the number of turns required to get the strength of the magnetic field that you necessary to turn that rotor, then you just shorten that all out into, instead of let's say 1,000 turns, now it's down to 1 turn. 1 turn means that you're still getting electricity through the entire coil. However, the electricity is a dead short. So essentially it's like taking a little piece of copper pipe and hooking your 120 volts to it. You just now created a dead short. And you'll start drawing massive amounts of amperage, which will kick your doggone breaker off. That's why they got breakers that are 15 amps, 30 amps, and so on like that, so that, you know, you don't overload your wiring and burn your house down. But if you had the capability of keeping those coils, those turns of that coil separated, insulated to the extent where they could not touch each other, you can bring that energy up to a massive amount and not burn that electric motor or generator up. So with that said, somebody out there invents a insulation that is as thin as the wire insulation that you got right now, that is capable of not allowing high voltage to basically burn through. If you've ever messed around with Tesla coils and you saw the high voltage, you get it anywhere near that plastic wire, and you'll actually see that will burn right through the insulation because the frequency is so doggone high. That's what I'm talking about. Now imagine a superconducting wire that the insulation would handle thousands of volts. You could properly engineer a generator or a doggone electric motor that would run on voltage alone. You wouldn't have to worry about, putting a whole lot of energy to this thing. You just need the turns, the surface area, the electron flow, and you need to bring the resistance down, unless you're literally wanting to use that resistance to literally liquefy the copper wire that is the coils of that motor. Now, if you had a tube that was capable of taking and handling molten copper, and you ran this in coils, this tubing was able to go in coils, not only would you get a thermoelectric out of the doggone deal, because now you got the molten copper and the two dissimilar metals, one of which has a higher melting point than the other, but you just produced a really impressive conductor that, as long as that copper was hot inside there, the two different metals would be trying to exchange electrons, and you'd have flow. Well, long would come the critic and say, well, it takes this many BTUs in order to, and you got to use too much energy in order to heat it into this state because it takes this at this melting point and blah, blah. Oh, it gives me a headache. The point is, we know how a thermal couple works. We know how a thermal pile works. We know how it certain points thermoelectrics becomes inefficient because the process will stop at a certain temperature unless you're able to keep one side cooler than the other. We got understanding on how all these things function. We got understanding on precision and bearings and how to make bearings with less friction, even frictionless bearings, magnetic bearings, different types of alloys that will hold up to different temperatures, different types of plastics, materials out there. There is absolutely no reason under the sun why you could not build the perfect generator. The perfect self-sufficient. Imagine a generator that when the sun lights out, it's pulling energy off the sun. Right, when the wind's blowing, it's pulling energy off the wind. When it's colder and crud outside, it's using the temperature difference between that and the reaction that's going on elsewhere inside the deal to give you a thermoelectric or heat exchange type deal. It's only limited to your imagination. That's as simple as that. There's a lot of researchers out there doing a lot of cool stuff, man. You check out Russ over there at RWG Research over there. Check out Mark over there at Zero Fossil Fuel and Rimstar.org and Lid Motors. I love Lid Motors' work. Check out some of the anomalies that he deals with when he's making little static motors. And there's some of those little motors, those 3D printed motors that run for, seems like forever, off of just a tiny bit of energy. You know, the jewel thief circuit that people use, and to get the most amount of energy out of batteries that wouldn't work in your normal flashlight, they still got energy in them. And using that jewel thief is being able to take that thing down to where no man's ever took it before and still getting work done with it. That energy is still available. It's not available in the quantity that you wanted because nature's already begun the process of balancing that battery back out to its natural state. Those chemicals are basically done their job, and everything's trying to get back to where it naturally was before. Anytime you throw nature off balance, nature will balance it back out. There's as much energy potential in a dead battery as there is in a fully charged battery. The difference is that the energy hasn't been thrown off of balance, such as you charging it. You charge a lead acid battery, you put more energy on one side of this battery than is on the other side. Now you have a potential difference that nature wants to balance out. And so if you short those two contacts, which are the battery terminals, together, then you can allow nature to send that energy back to its balance, and the energy flow will go from one pole to the next. So we understand all this. And we understand how to basically get better flow using different types of materials. Robert Murray Smith's out there working on hemp batteries, and hemp batteries out producing, I think it's nickel cadmium batteries or lithium batteries. You know, it's just different materials, different chemistry. It's all about just moving energy from point A to point B. It's as simple as that. The people out there, some folks just want to make things harder than necessary. You know, not trying to violate the laws of physics. Trying to get the laws of physics to work to my advantage. And make this doggone process of, if I'm going to have to run a gasoline engine generator or even a diesel engine generator, then I need that generator to be at its peak performance, being able to produce as much as it is capable of producing using the least amount of fuel possible in the most efficient manner. If you took just your average gasoline generator and you modified it to the extent to where that gasoline generator is no longer using a stream of fuel going inside there, a jet, it's using vapors, then you're burning less fuel in order to be able to keep that same amount of energy flowing on the other side. So on the carburation and the injection side of the, before it ever even gets into the combustion chamber, you've already started off with losses. So you start from the beginning of this deal, you make the carburetor as efficient as it is physically possible. You find out exactly how much fuel needs to be burned in time that cylinder is going to be on the stroke on the way up. And then you inject that amount of fuel inside there, and you cause that piston to go flying back down the other direction. You time that out to its exact amount, then that's all. If it only takes a microscopic amount of fuel to push that piston down at the same amount of force that it would be for the jet stream of fuel that's going through there, then you got that problem solved. And so on the exhaust portion of it, if you get a perfect burn inside the cylinder that is pushing that piston down on the exhaust portion, you got cleaner emissions coming out the exhaust. And so anything that would be coming out that exhaust, it wouldn't be like your average automobile today that has to have a catalytic converter to re-burn the fuel, any waste fuel that might make it out the exhaust port, because you got a perfect burn going on inside there. you might be getting something pure like carbon coming out the exhaust that could be captured and reused in some fashion. But if you don't need the catalytic converter to reburn the fuel, you still could use that catalytic converter for the heat source that it's generating. That catalytic converter will hold heat for hours after you shut the internal combustion engine off. And so, if that's the case, then now you got an extra energy source for maybe using that heat off of that catalytic converter to heat your house or something. Something crazy going on with my Skype, man. What's going on? Weird, man. Got the little swirly thing. I think my Skype there just popped back on. All right, so now we talk about, you took that doggone gasoline engine, you're only putting in the exact amount that necessary to push that piston down when it's ignited inside the cylinder, and so the exhaust coming out the other side is so clean you don't even need the catalytic converter anymore, but you left it there anyway because now you got that heat source from the hot exhaust out the other side, which may not be as hot anymore, because now you're not burning as much fuel inside that cylinder to get the work done. But regardless, let's say hypothetically it's still hot as it would have been before. That means the engine block is going to have some heat to it that has to be displaced by the cooling system on there. So now you got all this extra waste energy that could be utilized for anything from heat exchangers to, thermoelectrics, whatever. The vibrations of your car when you're going down the road producing, enough energy to, flex Peltier elements to your shock absorbers bouncing up and down. You got magnets going past coils of wire that are putting out an electric charge, and so on and so forth. So you can get this doggone deal to take all what would have been wasted energy and utilizing it. I'm gonna take a music break and find out what's going on with the whole Skype issue. It's doing some crazy stuff. I think it might be trying to update itself or something. Anyway, you're listening to Mad Science. Stay tuned, everybody. Peace and love.
space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission:
to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Crap!
Operator, give me the number for 911.
God's name is going on in here. What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
Love a cup. I would... Oh, God, yes. Oh, that is gorgeous. Yeah. I need a cup with the brown stuff, the shade of an acorn, made warm by the same source that I take my cakes from. Using a teapot, a mug, or fine china, been hooked up to IV, need constant supplies, and a drip for my urges might verge on perverted, perverted brown tea. I'm certain it's worth it. We Sherpas who work hers and use a fresh fountain. I've discerned brews from Peruvian mountains. I've slurped up a cup from an elephant truck with a couple of monks who are utterly stuck. I've had bourbons with sultans and creams with queens, and I've bathed in Earl Grey. I'm really that keen, and missionaries dismiss me for my single epiphany. The difference between him and me is a simple sip of British tea. So when times are hard and life is rough, you can stick the kettle on and find me a cup. Now when I say Earl Grey, you say yes please, Earl Grey.
Yes please,
Earl Grey.
Yes please.
When I say Assam, you say lovely, Assam.
Lovely,
Assam.
Lovely.
When I say ooh, you say ah, ooh, ah, ooh, ah, ooh, ah, ooh.
Oh my God, what an opera.
Yeah. I've been around the world in 80 brews to see the place it takes me to make a brew that tastes like the cream cakes made by angels do. I'm not the same as you, get shaky but aim to swing amazing fluids but don't make it the same. Now using fine leaves picked by pretty maidens in a bag knitted by a seamstress who lives in Copenhagen, brewed up in a pot made of semi-precious metal, let the blessed content settle in my very special kettle.
Now when I say ooh, you say long. Ooh,
long.
Ooh,
long.
When I say herbal, you say no thanks. Herbal.
No thanks.
Herbal.
No thanks. No. No, I want milk in it. Strong though. See that spoon stand up.
If you're tired of tea, then you're tired of blood.
I'm madder than a hatter, it fires my mic. Liken me to Earl Grey, a Sam, or Ginger, Lapsang, Souchon, raise my pinky finger. Keep your snodding coffee in a proper cup of coffee. Bottoms pop me loving teapot to your Ponzi rotten coffee shop. Coffee clocks nodding off, lost the plot, snodding off. Need some caffeine tannin and a Battenberg to top it off. Cut them off a different cloth, a different lot can take their beer. On 80 cups a day, I haven't slept for 80 years. You could say I'm mad for tea, or just say I'm mad. Oh, you can't stay any longer. Oh, actually, I'm quite glad. All the more Battenberg for me. I can barely pour, my hands have got a bit shaky from caffeine. Oh, I love it though. I'd sell my own grandma for a cup. Well, I'd sell you your grandma.
Can you remember
Operator, give me the number for 911.
God's name is going on in here. What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
That's right. You're listening to Mad Science. I'm trying to add some folks up in here, and Skype been giving me a hassle today for some reason. So that was the ruckus that was described, apparently. All right, so let me try this one last time, see who I can or can't get in here. All right, ring, ring, ring. So, will anybody pick up? That's the question. Ring, ring. Well, don't look like anybody's going to pick up. This is really good for live radio. Ring, 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 ring. I'll send them a text. Alright. Pick up. That's the text I'm sending. Ta-da. Pick up. Call. Yes. Alright, well, y'all snooze or lose, man. Tribal was denied. Y'all have to get together and call me or something. So I'll let that ring for a second, see if anybody shows. Alright, you guys didn't pick up. Sorry. Call me. Anyway, Stephen posted some links in there. One of them, Charles Nelson Poe vapor carburetor. So what I was talking about earlier was making things run more efficiently. And the article he posted talks about oil industry suppressed plans for a 200 mile per gallon car. And I believe it. There ain't no doubt in my mind, because if you understand how the internal combustion engine works, and by the way, that link is over there in the chat room at superchat.html, at Shaziz Radio. You could actually jump on shaziz.com, and there's a chat room and a radio player over there as well. So essentially what I've been talking about is being able to make things more run more efficiently is what my research entails. It's taking that energy that we already know how to create and using it to its maximum potential. You know, like I said, the laws of physics clearly state, and I'm trying to call them again, that energy can neither be created nor destroyed. Apparently didn't get that message either. So if you're listening, guys, pick up. Call me back. Something. I don't know why Skype's acting a fool today, but it is. So, let's see. Put a smiley face on there. Alright, these are the kind of distractions why you should get together early instead of late. Everybody's come crawling out of bed and jump in here for the last hour of the Mad Science Show. Anyway, so what I was talking about is that you took and properly engineered the internal combustion engine from start to finish. You could get the maximum amount of efficiency out of that. There's no reason why we shouldn't have a car that could go at the very least 200 miles to the gallon. And so, you know, bringing the researchers together, that's the key. You're not going to get it from industry. You're not going to get it from the fuel industry or the electric industry or any of the other, you know, energy dependent or energy departments of the world. You're not going to get it. They're not going to give it to you. See, now that's frustrating as all get out. Alright, so... Do-do-do-do-do. No, see, this is live radio. Y'all just answer the doggone thing for Pete's sake, man. I'm calling you on Skype. Alright. I'm going to do something crazy here. I'm going to keep on doing the show. Aha, finally.
Oh, man, what happened there?
Every time y'all answer the doggone phone, man, it's like it's live radio, man. You know, I'm sitting here trying to talk, and all y'all like just not answering the phone, so I got ring, and put a message, pick up, man. And somebody calls my cell phone, and so that's on there, too. So, how's it going?
Well,
don't everybody talk at once. I hear I tell you what, you guys call me back. Reset the connection. What do you think? Yeah, no. Duct tape and bailing wire, folks. That's what we got going on here. Duct tape and bailing wire. Put everybody back in the call and call me back. Alright, I'll wait for their call. Call me back. Live radio. Y'all killing me. Alright, so now that I'm distracted with Skype issues, I'm going to have to call them back. Maybe they didn't get my message. See, Skype's monkeying around again. Alright. I got a plan. I'm put this on a tune. I'm going to reboot that. Restart Skype. And see if I can get them in here before I completely destroy my show. Alright, everybody. You're listening to Mad Science. I'm going to play you a couple songs here for a second. Stay tuned. Peace and love.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission: to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
It's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a gold dry. The interest is up, and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, my woman and the kids and the dogs and me. Got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do.
survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those women more boys raised on shotguns. We say grace and we say ma'am. If you ain't into that, we don't give a damn. We came from the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the western skies. We can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. My grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and his taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures of the Broadway nights, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beach nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, 'cause the country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. North California and South Alabama and little towns all around this land. And we can skin a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
Operator, give me the number for 911. Operator, give me the number for 911.
Hello, you're listening to the Mad Science Show. Hope you're enjoying the music because I was attempting to start and reboot and all that kind of jazz. Apparently Skype did something to my Linux computer that I normally run Skype on. And so with that said, guess I've got to go it alone, man. So, essentially, what I've been trying to do with my YouTube channel is to open up some minds out there and get people to thinking outside the box, outside of your normal routine of what you basically told that is possible, isn't possible, because it's the free thinkers of the world throughout the entire history that's invented some pretty neat stuff, man. They've got a server not found, doggone it. I gotta reboot that doggone computer again. I'm going to shut her down completely and just keep on working at it, and hopefully within the last few minutes of the show I can at least get somebody on here for a moment. But anyway, the free thinkers of the world, they're the innovators. They're the ones who come up with all kinds of ingenious ideas. There's some pretty good YouTube videos out there. If you go look up homemade inventors and you see some of the crazy inventions that they came up with, get those kind of folks together thinking on projects and using everything that we know already as far as the basic laws of physics and basic science and engineering or whatever. There's no reason why we shouldn't be able to put together the most efficient internal combustion engines, ones that will run on water, for example. Water is probably the most amazing fuel out there. It's a life-giving source, and I don't think there's enough that could be said about water. Hydrogen technology and just the general makeup of water in itself, I mean, it's amazing. I'm sitting here trying to reboot the other doggone computer to see if I can get Skype to see. Now that's going to act a fool too. Duct tape and bailing wire. That's how this is all held together. I don't have a high dollar production crew to get this show on the road. It's just duct tape and bailing wire, just holding the thing together. And so, with that said, give a man some credit. If you can at least get the doggone show out and get some folks some information that they need using old raggedy computers and stuff like that. Let's see if I got an internet connection on that computer now. See, it's all the Linux version that Muddy set up for me. And, it's not the best computer in the world, but for some reason today Skype started acting the fool, and then next thing you know the internet connection started acting the fool. So I'm not sure whether it'd been hacked or jacked or whatever, but looks like Google showed up, so let's see if we can get back on to Shaziz Super Chat Room. Anyway, man, I don't like sitting here beating a dead
show on the road. It's just duct tape and bailing wire. He's holding the thing together.
Said that. That's pretty cool.
And so, with that said,
I'm gonna listen to myself for a second.
Give a man some credit. If you can at least get the doggone show out and get some folks some information that they need using old raggedy
Yeah, duct tape and bailing wire. All right. What the heck? Connection refused. Doggone, would I lose my internet connection again? It's only on that particular computer. Let's hit refresh and see what happens. Alright. Do-do-do-do-do-do. Yep, you're listening to Mad Science, and this is how it goes, man. Duct tape and bailing wire. See what happens. I'll hear myself again. connection refused. See, I don't know what's going on with this doggone thing, man. Maybe my network card in that computer is going awry. Don't know. Do-do-do-do-do. Alright, well... Ain't that it, man. So, it's connecting to the super chat room. It's terrible for live radio. Folks, it's not easy being a mad science guy. I'm going to try to shut her down and reboot her one last time, and that's that. Had some folks wanting to come on the show and talk about some mad science and projects, and doggone it, if this ding thing didn't decide to mess up. Whatever happened, it happened when Skype started going screwy. See, they should have left Skype alone, but they didn't. They decided to sell out to Microsoft, and ever since Microsoft took it over, it's been a turkey. Or worse. I can think of a few things to say it, but I won't. So, my technology that I'm researching in the plasma technology is essentially to be able to tune different ranges of energy and be able to use this energy in different ways than what you're accustomed to using electricity. See, right now we use a brute force magnetic field to shake loose the electron, the loosely coupled electron in the copper atom in order to get current flow. Well, I feel like you can do it with less. I feel like, just like the carburetor that can get 200 miles per gallon, I feel like the generator could get more output, more use of the output anyway, and make it more efficient. So if you can make the generator be able to do its job more efficiently, if you can run the internal combustion engine on less fuel and get the same amount of work done, then see, you're not defying any of the known laws of physics. You're not even attempting to. All you're doing is getting the best bang for your buck, so to speak. So let's see here if Google pops up this time. I may have to get me a new turkey computer for Skype. See, that's the reason why I put Skype on a separate computer, was because of just such an emergency that Skype decided to go ahead and trash the system that I didn't lose at all. And so now it's not even wanting to connect to doggone Google. Usually that's the first thing that pops right up. It's no problem whatsoever. So, troubleshooting the old Linux version of a computer on the doggone live radio show makes for good radio. Duct tape and bailing wire. Looking up Google. And it's going to come on and say, no internet connection. Do-do-do-do-do. Sorry guys, looks like we ain't gonna be able to get nobody on here today. That's why I need another backup computer. I need to get it all situated. Fire that other one up, sounds like a jet engine, but it's not wired into the audio portion. So, get some stuff. Can't even get to my own website. Ain't that funny? Maybe somebody don't like me, man. Maybe they done figured out what I was talking about you don't need to hear. Maybe that's the whole deal. So, it says problem loading. I'll try to shut her down again. Reboot it. Reboot! So, maybe somebody hacked my Skype again over there. Wouldn't be the first time. Probably won't be the last. Some jive turkey out there got too much time on his hand. Want to mess with some crazy old wild-haired guy called Chaziz. And try to interrupt his show. Which today was a successful interruption. I ain't gonna let it get me down, because once it's all said and done, I'll upload the podcast and go fishing. You know, that's the thing about life. When it throws you lemons, make lemonade or go fishing, whichever. So I've rebooted this thing many times, and so far it's just going to act up. See if I get an internet connection on it. So I can talk to my friends out there. Alright, so I use my YouTube channel to basically show different anomalies for different deals, such as static energy, thermoelectrics, hydroelectrics, whatever. Ways to pump water without electricity, ways to heat water without electricity, basically being able to make the best of a bad situation. A grid down scenario, you got an old washing machine, you got a little bit of electricity that you can take that thing apart. And if you do it right, you more likely take the motor out, use it for a generator, and if the power grid comes back on, be able to reassemble it and still be able to use the part successfully. Well, it looks like Google came back up, so I might be able to get on to at least my website, but I think the moment I turn on Skype, BAM! It'll kick me right to the curb. Telling you, that's the way it plays out. Connection refused. Oh man, what a mess. What a mess. Ain't that it. That is just something else. Well, I'm back on the site anyway.
Ways to pump water without electricity.
Pause that. Okay, we're back on that portion there. Now let's see if we can fire up Skype live on Shaziz Mad Science, where the shenanigans continue. We're going to have to look into a different alternative than Skype, because Skype has just become a turkey. So, Stephen Gibbons says that to try the uvu.com. I'm going to check that out. And we're going to have to give that a run and see how it works. Because we can't keep playing this, man. You want your friends to be able to be on the show. And it's kind of hard for them to be on there when the doggone Microsoft version of the Skype has done killed everything. That's why nobody likes Microsoft. Microsoft sucks. Yeah, I said it. That's probably why they won't let me on Skype. Oh, you Microsoft sucks, huh? Well, we're just going to shut you down. Alright. That's the way it goes. To install Uvu. Alright. He passed me a link for that too, so I'm going to download that. See, that's a Skype firing up. Alright, now let's see if I can get these other guys over here again. I'm going to save that link, Stephen. Thank you very much. Let's see who all's in there. Give them a call. Join call. Hello, are we there?
There's plenty of places out there in the ocean too where there's no
shallow keys. It's perfect. You're live on the radio. The hello, you're live.
Yeah, you're live.
Yeah.
How you doing?
Boy, I tell you, that was a nightmare. I just like to say, for all general purposes, Microsoft sucks. The Linux version of Skype on my computer reeks. So, we got like 25 minutes left of the show. Anything new happening?
No, but I say we have a Mad Science after hour today.
Just
to get back at them for trying to stop us from having Mad Science show.
You mean like an overdrive show? Alright, I just got a voice message from somebody. Are you guys still there? Dad, burn it. Are you serious? Duct tape and baling wire. Well, looks like that's that, man. I got kicked to the curb. That's what I get for talking about Skype, man. Duct tape and baling wire. Are you guys back now?
I'm back.
Okay, so I know Raymond's there because I can hear his jet engine.
My home.
Alright, so we were talking about an after hour. You mean like just a Skype conversation or?
Well, we can record it and put it up so people can hear if they want to. If they want to call in or whatever, you can. And two.
Yeah. All right. Well, you know.
Yeah.
What happened? Did I lose you guys again? R E O R. Call me back, doggone it.
Up here.
All right. We still got Raymond.
And you can't hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now. I don't hear Muddy. Muddy must have went on vacation. This is insanity at its best. So, we need a computer program to write us some software where we can have an uninterrupted, non-Microsoft version of communications without being spied on or having our conversations interjected on with shenanigans. Yeah.
I just figured out what. But. The fan from my cooling over of my router.
Oh, cool.
Alright. I would figure out where the noise comes from. Oh, man.
Alright, so basically what I was showing out there today was I posted some links. I don't know if you guys have been in the chat room yet, but I posted some links to another couple of washer machines that have direct drive motors in them, and one of them that has a really impressive little motor that are permanent magnet motors. I like to keep tabs on these so that I can show people that, you know, if you see an old washing machine on the side of the road, the newer versions, now we know that the Fisher & Paykel has them, doggone it, what was the other one? The Whirlpool has them, Samsung has them, and the one with the, where is it at? You know what? Q something. Simons. IQ 700 washer motor. Check them out, man. They're impressive. You know, we know about the X13s that come out of air conditioning units, and we know about the stator motors that come out of different, you know, basically they're DC pulse motors, but when you spin them backwards, the permanent magnet motor, they're putting out some really good voltage. And this Simon version, the IQ 700 washer motor, I want to get some because right out of the gate, no modifications whatsoever. Mount that thing to a wind turbine or a prop like Muddy carves, and you got yourself instant power, man. Throw it up there on a pole, and there you go. I'm trying to make it easy for the average Joe in the worst case scenario to at least have the knowledge of what's where so that they can use it to, you know, at the very least, keep some batteries charged up for, you know, whatever purposes. And I need to... Oh, I already bookmarked that. Alright, we need to check into this different video chat that he's talking about. You guys still there? Man, are you serious? Ring, 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 ring. see, they don't want me to say it, but what they didn't know is maybe I can't say it on Skype, but I'm saying it on my radio show. Jive turkeys. Gonna drive me to drinking, that's what's gonna happen. Man, bless it. Alright, let me test something real quick here, see if my connection refuses. This doggone computer is losing its internet connection. Problem loading page. Are you serious? Skype is causing that computer to lose its internet connection. That's just nuts. Do-do-do-do-do. I despise Skype today. Skype stinks. Alright, recent chats. Make a call. Yes, I want to make the call. Do-do-do-do-do. The duct tape failing wire. That's what I'm saying. Alright, look, I'm just going to have to go this alone, man. They'll have to either add me to the call or I'll have to go it alone. Because this isn't working. It's crazy. Connection refused. Ain't no internet connection. Skype is messing with everything. Alright, try it again. Do-do-do-do. Alright, so this is about probably next to the best, worst, doggone radio show in the history of Shaziz Radio. It almost makes you want to just jump right on out there and start a fist fight, man. Gonna drive a man to drinking. I'm going to reboot this thing one last time, and that's that. I'm done with it. Man. So shut her down. Try to reset the internet connection on this jive turkey. Got like 15 minutes left in the show. Might have to do an overdrive if I can get it sorted. But I don't know. So, I keep losing my train of thought. But if you go watch all my videos over there at ChazizRadio.com, I put stuff in the background so that if the average Joe's looking at it, they're probably just going to say, yeah. Then when the free thinker looks at it, they get ideas and they're like, hey, I could use that. I'll put this with that and I'll make something else. That's the whole plan. Get everybody to thinking way outside of the box. And you might just realize that there's a whole lot more that you can do than you really thought you could. There's a whole lot more to this world than meets the eye. Even when you have to mess around with duct tape and baling wire to prove it. So I've just rebooted the Linux computer. And it will probably tell me connection refused, so I don't know what's going on with this whole deal. It always seems to happen whenever I'm trying to do a show or when Skype is connected. So maybe I'm going to have to uninstall Skype, reinstall Skype, try to get it to work again. Maybe, maybe not. First, I'll try Skype and watch the little gray circly thing go in circles. You're getting on my nerves, Bill Gates. Bill Gates, you are annoying. All right, so. Now that we know Skype is just not going to happen. There it is, that nifty little sound when it boots up. and I'll see if the guys call me back. They might not want to talk to me anymore after all this. Alright, so... okay. We know how the current version of energy that we call electricity works. My research is to find a better way to use said electricity.
You're getting on my nerves, Bill Gates.
Yeah, I just heard myself say it again.
Bill Gates?
Alright. So now I'm going to try to make the call one last time. Less than 15 minutes to go at the end of the show. Rain, Fishwick, and Muddy, and join call. Alright, that's it. I'm gonna go to a life of crime.
Bum!
Yeah.
Well, if you're going to steal anything, steal another damn computer because you need it.
I'm telling you. I don't know, man.
I think maybe instead of stealing that, maybe you need to steal a life because there's plenty of people who ain't got one.
No, my life of crime is I'm going to start off slowly. Like, you know, me and my daughter just yesterday took a picture of us standing next to a no loitering sign. We took a selfie right in front of a no loitering sign. So I'm going to start off loitering a bit, you know, maybe jaywalking a few times. You know.
And when you steal candy from a baby, right after the picture, you bring it back, you give it back, right?
Well, I don't want to steal candy from a baby. Before the baby start crying, I feel bad.
You give them the candy back.
No, you don't. They gonna brought their daggone teeth out.
Babies ain't got no teeth yet.
Yeah, you can rot them out before they come in.
Right.
Alright, so... while we still got a Skype connection, however long that lasts, I don't know if you guys caught anything of what I was talking about.
A little bit.
I say we need to go to a Skype alternative.
Yep. We're going to work on that because this is obnoxious, man. Bill Gates should be...
So basically, at least we're going to spend some time trying to do it but not finish it like we did last time we said we were going to do this.
We better finish it.
There's a good one out there.
I think that everybody kept saying something to the effect that my computer doesn't like this or my computer doesn't like that, and we just kind of got discouraged and went.
My computer has a first name.
It's OSCAR.
Oh, I was thinking some more, you know, colorful terms there, but yeah.
All right, well, anyway. I keep tabs on those washing machine motors and different permanent magnet motors so that I can drop the links to them in there and show people the different options that they got available for worst case scenario to build yourself a homemade generator. Alright, so during the apocalypse you might have to get on the treadmill or the pedal bike and power up your lights and all that kind of stuff, charge up your batteries for, you know, emergency radios and maybe a little cooling and stuff. But at least you know you have that option. Now, when it comes down to the other research, my research, I'm going back to my version of research. I'm going to let everybody else's researches go on about their own business. I got distracted by Bedini. I got distracted by the PAP engine and all the different hydrogen technologies out there.
By the distractions.
Yeah. Which, when you're in the search for free energy, you want to grab up all this information and you want to try to absorb it and use it. But at the same sense, it took away from what I was trying to accomplish with my plasma technology, to be able to take energy and change its state of matter and be able to tune it up and down, you know, and develop different frequency ranges and find other methods by which you can utilize the same type of energy just by changing it and then bringing it back to a usable voltage again. Also, with the things such as the ion drives and the static electricity and stuff like that, have already proven that you can get work done with static electricity. Now, how far you decide to take that is all up to you, you know.
Cattle prod works.
Yeah, that's high voltage, and it gets the work done. It tells that cow to get a move on, but don't get yourself hit with it. You'll be sorry. You know? But, nonetheless, it's still energy. And all we're doing is moving energy from one place to another and getting work done. All we're doing is throwing nature off balance, and when nature balances itself back out, we're getting work done with it. Once you grasp that basic concept, then you understand what it is I'm trying to show people as far as all these different anomalies. You know, all the naysayers and all the skeptics can go out and dance in the garden or the tulip field or whatever, because they're not helping the situation out any. All I'm trying to show people is, look, this anomaly, yeah, sure, it's not going to run your house, but you put this one with that one and that one and with that one, now you got a generating system that's going to function no matter what's going on out there. You know? Is it over unity? Are you getting out more than you put in? I've never even tried to search for over unity, so I don't know if over unity exists. I believe it's possible. I believe you can get out more than you put in.
Boom Boom got over unity.
Well, with his two-stage oscillator, is that what that is?
Yeah, 13 to 1.
Yeah. So, you know, with that said, I know it's possible. I mean, he can do it. He's lifting up something, you know, with the least amount of energy, you know. So, to me, but I've never been searching for to be able to get out more than I put in. Even though I believe it's possible and the technologies exist to do it, all I've been doing is trying to figure out a method by which you can take energy and change it to do what you want it to do. You see what I'm saying?
Make it more efficient.
Yeah. So when I say free energy, I mean it. I mean, we're surrounded by it. The wind power, you didn't get a bill for the wind power. You didn't get a bill for the sun. You didn't get a bill for the water. The energy is available. It's how we decide to use it. Right now, we're using the energy in such an inefficient manner that we're paying an astronomical electric bill to the man because he knows all the secrets, and you don't. Now that you got some of the clues to those secrets, and you take all these secrets and start to design yourself systems, you can custom design your own power grid for your own house, you know, depending on your needs. If you can use LED lighting systems in your house, Raymond could tell you those are pretty doggone efficient. You cut your power usage down, you know, and by running a solar
panel.
Yeah. That's it. Unplug it if you ain't using it kind of thing. And so, in my point of view with that is that if you can conserve, like you just said, and cut down on what you're actually having to pay for, throw a solar panel out there to supplement your electric bill, throw a wind turbine out there to supplement your electric bill if you live near a constant moving river or stream, there's a force of energy that can be applied to the deal.
Mm-hmm.
So that, in my view, will give you extra funds at the end of the month that you can start to, if you budget it and save it or whatever, threw it in the piggy bank, you know, hey, I saved $100 on my doggone electric bill. I'm going to put it back in a bank, and when I get up to $3,000, I'm going to go out and buy me one of them Generac generators that'll run my whole house in case the power grid goes down. You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to help people out at the same time while I'm trying to do my own research. But, you know, over the years of me doing the Mad Science Show and, you know, my YouTube channel, I get messages from other alternative energy researchers that say, hey, man, have you looked into this or have you looked into that? And so, basically, I run around through the whole field of alternative energy looking at all these different pretty-looking flyers and trying to pick them all at once to rush back here and hand them to the world and say, look, there it is, folks. That's why I keep saying that we have every single piece of the puzzle necessary to literally produce perfect generating systems, self-sufficient, regenerative energy, however you want to call it, whatever high-tech terminology you want to throw on it. You know, if you're burning water and your exhaust is water, then it tells me that you could take that exhaust, condense it, and put it back into the fuel tank. Am I wrong? Mm. No? Mm. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
So, it's an option. Well, all I heard what you said, Raymond, was what were you? Oh, well, there. I hate Scott. So, we got to get better batteries for everybody's headsets. We got to get a more reliable communication software than Skype, because Microsoft is, let's face it, Bill Gates is getting old. He's kind of decrepit, not necessarily the most trustworthy individual, and he's kind of weird. You know what I mean? I just got kicked off of Skype again. That's what you get talking about Bill Gates like that. I ain't playing. All right, folks. Tell you what, you've been listening to the Mad Science Show, and I don't think I'm getting it back this time. But we'll give it a shot. We'll run over here a bit. See what happens. The moment I start talking smack on Bill Gates, he started like...
Talking on the side, like you look in your
rear. Yeah. I was talking smack on Bill Gates, man.
There he is.
We're live again.
It's still saying you're offline.
Yeah, well, that's what happens when you talk smack on Bill Gates. He's like, oh, you want to play about my software? I tell you what, watch this, click. It just happened again. Oh, man, you got to love it, man. You got to love it. So, look at that. All right. Bill Gates and the universe are all one. Hummina. All right, let's see what happens there. Nope, ain't buying it. All right. Well, folks, we're going to end this one here. Mad Science Show, and we might come on with a after-hour show if we can get some things resolved. If not, we'll try to record the conversation for you and throw it up on the podcast page and call it Special Report or something like that. I don't know. So, anyway, you've been listening to the Mad Science Show, and that noise you hear back in the background is that old nappy-headed Bill Gates, lousy software, man. It's terrible. That's all I can say about that. All right, so I'm looking for a couple things right here before I jump up off of here. But don't overlook the simple. You just keep it simple. And pass the information to everybody. If you find old permanent magnet motors that are good, then let everybody know about them. Different appliances out there that usually end up in the scrap yard and go to waste, find uses for them. Do some YouTube videos. And that worst case scenario, if somebody needs a little bit of power source to generate some electricity in a power grid down type scenario, then they will have access to it. Anyway, you've been listening to the Mad Science Show. Peace and love, everybody. Stay tuned for hopefully tomorrow, the Knights of the Round Table, will have some more guests on there because for some crazy reason, Scott, you don't like me today. Duct tape and bailing wire. Mad Science, wild hair. That's how it's done around here. Take care.
Crap.
Operator, give me the number for 911.
God's name is going on in here. What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.